Welcome to the Run Around Iowa, the podcast that's dedicated to news and interviews with the athletes, coaches, and personalities who are making headlines in cross country, track and field, road running, trail running, and triathlon in the state of Iowa. And now, here is your host, Lance Bergeson. A good Tuesday to you all, or maybe Wednesday or Thursday, whenever you're getting around to listening to this podcast. I'm your host, Lance Bergeson, back from a week of adventures in Ohio and Indiana. A lot to discuss here about some of my hotel stays. But first, hopefully you had a chance to listen to the Lisa Yule interview. She was so kind to be on the show. Had a lot of interesting things to say. She's clearly happy in her new life with her son, Graham. I forgot to mention how they came up with the name Graham. Sounds very British. But she's clearly in a happy place with her life right now. So if you haven't listened to that, it's worth, definitely worth a listen there. And I've got a lot of other news this week. I've got 2 weeks to catch up on results-wise. When I left on vacation, the Olympics were just finishing up. So I've got that weekend from the 7th and 8th, and also the previous weekend to catch you up on. A lot there. But one thing I was reminded of during this vacation is that there is a big difference between hotel room exercise rooms, between what you find, what you purchase for your overnight stay, and what you don't purchase. We stayed in, four different hotels, and three different, and then an Airbnb. But two of them were fairly substandard as far as the air conditioning units. The first night we drove all the way, got to Greensburg, Indiana, which is smack dab almost in the middle of Indianapolis and Cincinnati. And this exercise room was the room that time forgot. This place was inept. It was disastrous, dark, terrible, stinky, you name it. It looked like nobody had exercised in this room for a couple months. And I couldn't even get into it at first. I showed up about 7:30 to do my run, and the door was locked. So, unfortunately for me, the cleaning lady was right there. She said she could help me. Went down to the front desk, brought this giant key. You know how those big, giant plastic keys, key rings that you have? It was attached to this little small key. It was this giant key. And anyway, I got in, and oh my gosh, it was 85 degrees in there, I think. The air conditioning hadn't run. Like I said, it was the room that time forgot. It was this 1980s treadmill, clearly. And I was just hoping that when I put that key in to start it, that it actually worked. But it did run. But even cranking up the air conditioning did not help. 35 minutes later, 4 miles, that was all I could take. So that was the end of my Greensburg experiment. Then it was on to a Hilton in Mason, Ohio. It was right by Kings Island and that tennis facility where the Western and Southern Open is going on right now. And again, it was a very hot room, much better treadmills. They were pre-cores. But again, the room was hot. It was like they didn't air condition it well. So again, a couple runs that I had there were just blistering hot and sweated right through my shirt. And then the last two nights were at a Comfort Inn, and they had the best facilities of all. Life Fitness treadmills, really nice. It was really cool. But the morning, the only morning that I ran, I didn't run on Sunday. That was our driving day. But I ran on Saturday. I had a lake across the way. I had Pine Lake across the highway from where we were staying. So I said I'm gonna go exploring the trails, and it was like 63 degrees that morning because we're right by Lake Michigan, not far from Long Beach in northern Indiana. So that was a really nice 6 mile run. Found a little trail to run on in some area. So yeah, word to the wise, you know, I'm sure I could have found some good exercise rooms if I would have spent, you know, $200-$250. But again, you know, this was a vacation where I had to, you know, do it on a little bit of a budget. So there you go. Not exactly impressive workout rooms. On to bigger and better things, and that is a couple weeks of results here. Wow, it's been, I missed a lot. When I left for vacation, roughly the Olympics were still going on, pretty much. There were still some results that I had to come up from. So that's how long I've been gone. So I've got 2 weekends of results, but first, got a lot of news to talk about. Iowa State is going to be bringing back a familiar 800-meter runner. Frank Hayes is coming back. He he's been, this is for his second time in Ames. He competed for Iowa State during his freshman year in 2017 and 18. Before leaving for his home state of Ohio State for 3 seasons, he was a 2-time second team All-American at OSU. He ran on the Buckeyes 4x400 relay just this last indoor season, and then also finished second team All-American in the 2019 indoor campaign. He's won a couple Big Ten titles. And the 4x4 that I talked about, and then the 600-meter run in 2019. So Jeremy Sudbury, very anxious to get him back, very excited. He's got one more year of eligibility. He's one of these grad transfers. Hayes is from Sylvania, Ohio, so it's been nice for him to run at home for 3 seasons, but now he's decided to come back to Ames and see what he can do. And Sudbury said, Frank was one of the first 800 signees we had when we decided we wanted to make our middle distance group a force at the national level. And that's something that Abby Caldwell's kind of talked about on this show, is that Sudbury's really led that charge back with the 800s because they had slipped in previous years. So Sudbury adds, it is only fitting to have him return and see what he can do in his last season of eligibility. His addition to the group gives us incredible elite depth. So, and they need him because Rashawn Rooms is gone, Daniel Nixon is gone, and a guy I'm going to get to in a moment, Festus Legat, is also gone. So with those three guys out the door, they needed another 800 runner to help boost the team along with Jason Gomez. So Frank Hayes is back and leaving the Big Ten. Iowa fans will be happy about that. you know, he's been very good even in the NCAA outdoors. He qualified for the West prelims in the 800 in 2019 and 2021. And he's got an outdoor 800 best of 149.36. So I think that can be definitely improved. His indoor time is actually better of 147.90 into the 800. So we'll see what he can do. Moving on to triathlon, the Collins Cup teams were announced. This is a debut event that's going to be held in Europe, in Samarin, Slovakia on August 28th. So a week and a half away, roughly. And former Storm Lake resident Matt Hansen made the team on merit. He was one of the 4 American men that made it, earning enough points in results to make this competition. And what it is it's the U.S. team, men and women. There's 12 athletes on the USA team. And then there's a team Europe and a team internationals. So the three teams vie for the fastest overall finishes. It'll be 12 head-to-head races over 2 kilometer swim, 80 kilometer bike, and 18 kilometer run. So that's what it's all about. Head-to-head, they're going to be racing. So Hansen made it on merit, along with Sam Long, Rudy Von Berg, and Ben Knute. And the captain's picks for Karens Myers and Mark Allen were Chris Lieferman and Justin Metzler. The women's team got a big boost from the captain's picks because their original team that qualified on points was Sky Munch, Heather Jackson, Jackie Herring, and Chelsea Sodero. But they were able to add Katie Seferis, who is coming off winning silver and bronze at the Tokyo Olympics, and she's the 2019 World Triathlon Champion. So big boost getting Katie Seferis on the team. And then Taylor Knibb, who also won silver on that USA mixed relay team, also going to be on that on that list for the US. So they'll get a boost from that. So that's the US team that's going to be competing in the Collins Cup, August 28th. Former Iowa City resident Leslie Smith had hoped to make the team for the Collins Cup, but she was not chosen and did not earn enough points for that. One advantage you have when you take an extra day to do this podcast to finish it means you pick up some late news. And the Chicago Marathon announced their elite fields for their race, which is on October 10th. And two former Iowa collegians will be running in that race, and it's a very American-heavy marathon because you've got Boston coming up the day after that. Berlin is in October as well, and then you got New York City, and London's also in October as well, if I'm right. And like I said, New York City is the first Sunday in November, so. Five major marathons within a span of about 4 weeks there. So the elite fields are a little thinned out. So it looks like Reid Fisher, former Drake runner, and former Iowa runner Diane Nakuri both have a chance of doing well and faring high in this Chicago marathon. Fisher will be running his second marathon. He ran at the 2020 trials in Atlanta, ran 2:24:48 on a difficult day on a hilly course. And he's a 10-man elite team out of Colorado. And then Nakuri, an ASICS runner who is out of Flagstaff, Arizona, running very well this spring and summer. I'll be mentioning her later on in the show. She also is on the women's elite field. She was listed number 5 on that list, and she has a best of 2:27:50 from London in 2015. So that's the Chicago Elite Marathon. We'll have a couple runners to look out for there. In my last podcast, I mentioned that the Running Wild Elite team has thrown down the gauntlet by starting this race team. And now a little bit of an exodus has taken place with the Runablaze team, as Devin Albaugh, Steve Freshel, Dan Freshley, and Jay Welp are all leaving the Runablaze team for the Running Wild team. And Welp and Albaugh are probably the two big names that you'd like to talk about because. Jay he's won the Des Moines Half Marathon in 2019. He was the Blazing 5K champion in 2020 during the pandemic race last October. He's got a phenomenal 4:11 mile PR. He's run 14:19 for the 5K in Iowa, and he's also run 106.14. So he's a coach and a teacher in the Iowa City High School, Iowa City High School school districts. So Jay Welp, former Morningside University and BCLUW runner, switching teams. that one's got to hurt because he's kind of right in the middle between Davenport and Des Moines. So not surprising that Devin Albaugh is leaving because his wife was, as I mentioned the last show, was announced as the female elite coordinator. Now Devin is going to be he's going to manage the men's side of the Running Wild race team. So a package deal there. And Devin's had quite a career running in Iowa. He's got a great PR too of 4:09 for the mile, 23:35 for the 8K, and just under 30 minutes for 10K. He's a former Pleasant Valley High School and Minnesota State University Mankato athlete. And just this past June, he was fourth at the Grandma's Marathon Half, which is the Gary Bjorklund Half Marathon. That's what it's called. So the Freshleys, the brothers, both from Davenport, both attended Assumption High School. And then Dan went off to Iowa for his studies, and Steve went off to St. Ambrose. And they're both excellent runners. Dan has run 109.57 for the half, and then 226.46 for the full marathon. And Steve has got his brother Beatty's run 106.18 for the half, and 24.34 for the 5 mile, and just under 15 minutes for the road 5K. And he was also the top Quad Cities finisher at the recent BIC 7 on July 24th. So they, not surprising, I guess you shouldn't say that the two guys from Davenport went with the Davenport race team. But they've also added a couple other athletes of note. in fact, one of them is engaged to Steve Freshley. It's Casey Zelensky. She went to St. Ambrose, as well as Steve. And, so she's going to be running. And then, Joe Putz, who, is from Illinois, but he went to Augustana College. I think that's Augustana University. Well, yeah, it'd be Augustana College. I get those two mixed up between the one in Sioux Falls and the one in Rock Island. But I guess the one in Rock Island is the college. So he's a runner who came to running late in his career, but he's got some good times too here. He's since running, changing sports from baseball to running his junior year of high school. He's run 15:05 for the 5K, 25:25 for 8K cross country, and then he's run 22:25:40 at the Indy Monumental Marathon. So they've added some star power to this team. And so the Running Wild team is going to be one to look out for. Runablaze did add one athlete, and it's a person I mentioned on this podcast. It's Millie Brettel, former Drake University runner. She's joining the Runablaze team, so it's good for them to boost their numbers on the women's side. She was the indoor 3,000-meter Missouri Valley champion in 2019, and she also won the outdoor 3,000 steeple in 2021. And some of her better numbers are a 5:07 mile and then a 17:25 5K. So Millie Brettel, who is now living in the Des Moines area, has joined the Runablaze team. All right, now that I've gotten that out of the way, let's get on to the results. 2 weekends worth. I'm going to finish off the Tokyo Olympics. A lot of people showed up downtown Des Moines to watch a big screen presentation, thanks to Catch Des Moines, Drake University, many other people. And it was Carissa Schweizer who everybody wanted to see. And Carissa running in her third race of the Olympics after a semifinal and a final in the 5,000, where she finished 11th. In the final of that race, she finished 12th in the 10,000, running 31:19.96. She was the second American behind her, behind Emily Sisson. Same result at the U.S. Olympic trials. Sisson was 10 seconds better than Carissa. And it was, again, well, you had a lot of African ladies, as we talked about with Lisa Yule. It's tough to go up against these African runners. It was a Safwan Hassan win in 29:55. She beat Kalkadin Gizegne in a kick at the end. And then Letensabet Gede. I should pronounce these right, since I watch all these Diamond League races, but it's very hard. Anyway, Gede of Ethiopia was the bronze medalist in 30:01. And so there you have it. Carissa did say on Instagram a long comment. She knew that the 5K 10K double wasn't going to be an easy feat. But she says, "I'm proud of how I competed in the 10K, although I wish I could have finished my last lap a little stronger. I gave it all I had and lived up to the mantra, finish on empty. And sometimes that means your legs just can't move any faster, no matter how bad your heart wants them to." She finishes it up by saying, and this is a pretty good thought, "wrapping up my first Olympic experience with an 11th and 12th place finishers in the 5K, 10K. I know this is nothing to be over the moon about, but hey, it's 12th, it's 11th and 12th in the Olympics. It's been a lifelong dream of mine to be an Olympian, and the amount of support and people who have reached out to me during this time has been overwhelming. And this experience," she says, "has not been about the outcome, but about the journey. And that is what I'm going to remember the most." So that's really good that she's got a positive look on it. And, you know, we're 3 years away from the next Olympics, barring another pandemic here in Paris. So she can build off this experience that she had. The 49th Falmouth Road Race was held 2 days ago on August 15th. On Sunday, it was the 49th running of that historic race. It runs by that famous lighthouse along the Atlantic Ocean, and it was former Sioux City North prep Bia Sambasa who ended up taking second place in the men's competition in 32:19. So great running by him. he ended up taking a tumble here. Right about 4 miles, he said. You know, the race wasn't televised, so don't have official word about that happening or how it happened. But he did say that he fell down hard right about before 4 miles, and still bounced up and kept going and managed to get second place. His 32:19 time just 3 seconds behind fellow American Ben Flanagan. The women's side, Diana Curry, mentioned her already in this show with the Chicago Marathon. Well, she ended up running in the 7-miler, and it was a similar result to Bix on July 24th as Edna Kiplagat was the winner. Bix and also Falmouth, she ran 36:52, and Diane was fifth at Falmouth. 37:35 was her time. And Diane's had a really good history at Falmouth. She has finished on her previous 5 times. Second, fourth, a win, and third. So a fifth place for her. A little bit of a step back, but it was a lot of the same competition that we saw at Bix. Sambasa, the previous week, was at an event called the Sir Walter Miler. It's one of the best mile races in the nation. That was August 6th in Raleigh, North Carolina. And in that men's elite mile, Bia, well, he made history, breaking 4 minutes for the mile, running 358 71, and that only got him 10th place. So that was an impressive field there. He was behind Craig Engels, who was only 5th in that race. He was probably the big name out of this group, but Gordy Beamish was the winner in 3:54.92. But anyway, that 3:58.71 time, according to Mike Jay, the voice of the Drake Relays, he is now the 5th former Iowa prep, Iowa native, whatever you want to call him, to make it on the list. He joins Jerome Howe, Randy Wilson, Blake Bolden, who's now the Drake Relays director and the director of those programs at Drake, and Tyler Mulder, who's now leading the Hawkeye Community College teams. So Habia becomes the number 5th guy to break 4 minutes for the mile. That was in North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina. And then also August 15th, on Sunday, you had the Ed Murphy Classic. That is the final race that I'm seeing from the American Track League. And it was Festus Lagat, former Iowa State runner. I mentioned him earlier in the show. He ended up 2nd in that race, running 1:46.21. Jesus Lopez was the winner. He's a Hoka One One runner. He won that men's 800A result in 1:46.03. Really good battle there. He just held off Lagat at the end. That Ed Murphy Classic was in Memphis, Tennessee. And you can watch that on the ESPN app. They have a replay of that. If you have that app, you can watch the replay of that American Track League event in Memphis. Then it was... on Saturday you had the 1500. The day before you had a women's 1500 event as part of that, and you had former Mount Vernon Lisbon prep Alexina Wilson, who finished her season off with a nice effort of 4:14.01 to take 6th place in that race, a race won by Rebecca Mara of the Oisel team, and 4:04.90. And Mayra built, she defeated such a field that included Nikki Hiltz, Adidas runner, and Chanel Price. So really good win by her. Anyway, Alexina, who's now a Northern Iowa assistant coach and former Panther runner, finishes 6th, and she said on Instagram, "Taking a minute to appreciate some big improvements this season. I ran pretty big PRs in every event from 800 to 5K, and that's true, she did. She was reeling them off one after the other. She concludes, "I still see a lot of room for improvement and some goals I've yet to accomplish, but it's a good feeling being better than you've ever been." Hey, that's really positive. I'll have to get her on my show. I've interviewed her a couple times, but not for this podcast. The Ironman 70.3 Boulder event was held on August 6th, and it was right outside Leslie Smith's door. The former Iowa City resident and Iowa City native, she said she lives 10 miles from the start of the race. She is a Boulder resident. She finished 7th in that 70.3 event in 4:15.48. That was a race won by Emma Pallant Brown, who took 2nd in the Des Moines 70.3 event way back on Father's Day. Pallant Brown was timed in 3:59.54, beating Taylor Nibb, someone I mentioned earlier, making it to the Collins Cup team. She beat Nibb by 2:26. Leslie said on Instagram, "While I was aiming for higher than my 7th place finish in this competitive field, I would not call it an overall poor performance. I really struggled with the smoke. Bad AQI, which is air quality index, that rolled in both during and after the race, but hey, so did a lot of other people." So that was Leslie Smith's finish there. Moving closer to Iowa, you had the Motown Mile 6K and 1 mile races on Saturday in Moline. This event used to be known as the Microbrew Mile. And it's been around since 2014, but now it's been rebadged. And you had new Runablaze Iowa athlete David Tu, who was the winner in both races. And they were held basically 15 minutes apart. You had Tu, who won the mile first in 4:14, and then he came back and ran a phenomenal 15:19 time for that 6K. If that's accurate, that is a heck of a time for Tu, who I believe now lives in Ames. Taking runner-up honors was the new running wild athlete I mentioned earlier, Jay Welp. Welp was just 2 seconds back in the a late mile race, running 4:16. And then Jay came back and ran 15:52 for that 6K. I'll have to see if that's accurate or not, whether that was short. My guess is that it's probably a hair short. But anyway, in that mile, Tyson Wieland, former Johnston High and Iowa Central runner, he said that he tied his best effort for the mile from college. His time was 4:18, and he just edged Tanner Osing of the Running Wild team for third place. Both of them ran 4:18. And then you had in that mile, Eli Miller of the Running Wild team with a 15-second PR, running 4:22 for fifth. Jack Kinzer, also running wild, 4:24 for sixth. Then Tyler Lance ran 4:35 for seventh. And Keith Sands, who the Running Wild post on Instagram said he had some knee troubles. He struggled in with a 4:42 for eighth. A lot of these guys doubled up, like Tyler Lance. He was third in the 6K coming back in 15:58. Eli Miller, I mentioned him. He had that nice 15-second PR. He ran 16:49 for fourth. And Jack Kinzer, after that sixth in the mile, came back with a fifth in 17:09 for the 6K. Like I said, if that's accurate. That's a good performance, bouncing back so quick after that mile. The women's 1 mile, there were some good performances here. Jill Humicky, I don't know her necessarily. I haven't heard that name much. She ran 5:31 for the women's win. I don't have hometowns for these people. I do know Elise Emick. I know she's a former Southeast Warren runner from Carlisle. She ran 5:46 for second. And then Annie Freshley. The Running Wild team was third in 6:02 in the women's miles of that Motown mile. The Mines of Spain Trail half marathon was also held over the weekend. And I did not find results from this, so I'm just taking the Running Wild team's post for its word. They said that they finished 1, 2, 3, and 5 in the men's race. And you had men's coordinator Devin Albaugh taking first in that trail race in 1:22:41, which is probably a good time since it's, I'm sure, hilly and it's on a trail. Steve Freshley of the same team, Davenport native, was second in 1:22:44. And then his brother Dan was third in 1:23:32. They all broke the previous course record by over a minute, so now Albaugh owns that record. And then you had Parker Hune was fifth in 1:31:58. So that was the Mines of Spain Trail Half Marathon. It's been around a few years, just not showing results this year. Wieland came back. A day after that 1 mile race, came back and did the Bluff Creek Triathlon at Don Williams Park near Ogden on Sunday. And he was the winner in the Olympic distance event. 2:03:03 was his time there. His nearest competitor was a women's professional, Jess Smith, who's recently moved to Central Iowa and competed in the Des Moines 70.3 event, just like Tyson did. She was runner-up and the women's champion in 2:11:59, Jess Smith was. previous weekend, East Moline was home to the Freedom Run 5K and Double Time Loop on August 5th. The Double Time Loop was a 5.8-mile loop, so not quite a 10K. And it was Dalton Martin, who just finished his junior season at Wartburg College, was the winner in 30:51. He topped Jacob Belha by 1:08. And then you had Dalton Rice, who was third in 32:38. Aaron Skopik in 33:08 for fourth. And Matt Jackson was fifth in 33:15. And I'm sure it was hot that day. We've had some very hot days. The female winner was Maddie Kindlesberger in 40:06. In the 5K race that went with it, you had Running Wild's Keith Sands, who was the winner in 15:42. He beat Tanner Osing, teammate, by 3 seconds. And then taking third was Phil Young of the Run a Blaze Iowa team. Phil is the owner of the Fleet Feet store, so he's not going to be running for Running Wild anytime soon. He was timed in 16:10. He was proudly wearing his Fleet Feet jersey coming across the finish line, I noticed. And then Tommy Murray was fourth in 16:40. The women's winner was Maddie Miller in 19:36 in that Freedom Run 5K. New Run-A-Blaze athlete, Jordan Winkie, now has a new course record at the Matawan Wildcat Road and Trail 5K. That was held in Michigan on Saturday, August 6th. Former University of Iowa runner was the overall women's winner. And like I said, set that course record, which is now 17:48.8. And that's also a new PR for Jordan, topping her previous best in the 5K, set 5 years earlier. So congratulations for her, a PR and a new course record. And the Atkins Watermelon Days was held on August 6th, and Eli Miller picked up his third career victory in that event. According to the Running Wild team, that was he set a new course record by over 90 seconds. But anyway, he ran 15:59, and for the victory, he's from Van Horn, and he's 23 years old. The runner-up was Run a Blaze's Nathan Hopp. Nate living in Cedar Rapids now, and he's 38 years old. He was timed in 16:43 on the very rolling course of the Atkins Watermelon Days. The Shamrockin' Run 5K was held in Waterloo on August 7th, and this was an eye-opener for me. Former Ankeny High and Wartburg College runner Jay Mixdorf was the winner in 16:03.7. He's 22 years old and living in Waterloo, but it was surprising for the guy he beat, Joe Freeberger, who just finished a phenomenal career at Wartburg College. He was the runner-up in 16:21.14. Freeberger also lists Waterloo as his residence, so I don't know if he took some time off from running, probably, maybe a little out of shape, but anyway, he got beat by about 18 seconds by the former Ankeny High runner, Mixdorf. Carson Rigg of Lake Mills was third. He's an 18-year-old. He ran 16:57.89. The women's winner was Kylie Kelchin of Iowa City. Kylie is 23 years old. She ran 19:31.7. So that was the Shamrockin' Run 5K in Waterloo, where current Wartburg runner Jay Mixdorf topped former Wartburg runner Joe Freeberger in that race. The Kraut Route 5K was held on August 7th in Lisbon, and Ian Caskey, hometown guy from Lisbon, he lives there, was the winner in 15:54. He topped Chris Lagore of Marion by 46 seconds for the victory. Run a Blaze had the Mallon sisters, Beth Mallon, of Davenport was the overall winner, and she finished 14th overall. She ran 1949, and she is living in Davenport now, and her sister Becca Mallon, who is now working at the University of Iowa, and lists North Liberty as her address. She was runner-up in 2006, Becca was, and they're both Davenport Assumption, former Davenport Assumption preps. And wrapping things up here, locally here in the Des Moines area, you had the Battle of the Burbs 10K last weekend, August 7th, I guess it would be, in Clive. Nick Victor was the winner in the fairly hilly course there. Nick was timed in 33:10. The women's winner was a name I've already mentioned, Jessica Smith. The professional triathlete was timed in 40:06. She was also not only the women's champion, but the overall runner-up there. The 5K winner was Miles Shepard. He was running in the 19 and under category. And he ran 15:42. And I looked up, I just Google searched this guy, kid's name, and he was one of the top runners in Illinois during this past school year. And might have won the state championship. He runs for a school called West Hancock in Illinois. He was one of the favorites during his junior season to win state, but they never had a state meet, never had a state cross country. So Miles Shepard came to Des Moines. I don't know if he was just visiting relatives or whatever, but he ran a very impressive 15:42 time for the win in the 5K. And wrapping things up, we had the Adel Sweet Corn Festival 5K, where it was Loudon Foster was the winner in 16:26, and then Misha Impossible was 10th. I've ran against Misha a few times. She was the women's winner in 20:06, and yeah, that's what she puts on her Facebook page, so that's what she goes by. So that's your lot from 2 weeks of results on the roads, trails, and track involving Iowa athletes. And tell your friends about this podcast. Tell everybody about it. I appreciate all of my loyal listeners, but if you've got some running friends and out there are college teammates, whoever's listening to this, tell your friends about the podcast. I appreciate any more listeners that can come aboard. I will have a podcast next week. I'm not expecting to have a guest later on this week as I'm trying to get back into the swing of things, trying to get some people contacted to set up some future interviews, but I'll definitely be back next week with the results as we wind down the summer racing season. Hope you continue to enjoy the hot days of Iowa and keep on running. Thanks, everyone.